May it please the court. Joseph Kuczynski was a worker subject to the Oregon Workers' Compensation Law who raised a question of fact as to whether he both invoked that law and applied for benefits under that law. The district court erred in granting summary judgment against his Oregon statutory discrimination claim, finding that he had not done that. Oregon statute, ORS 659-040, prohibits an employer from terminating an employee because the employer has either invoked the Oregon Workers' Compensation system or applied for benefits under that system. Here, Mr. Kuczynski raised evidence showing a question of fact that he did both. It's important to remember in analyzing this issue that the Oregon Workers' Compensation Board has ruled that he is a worker subject to the Oregon Workers' Compensation Law.
That doesn't get you where you need to be to show that he invoked the workers' compensation scheme in Oregon or filed a workers' compensation complaint. The fact that he is an employee subject to the provisions of that act doesn't resolve the question we have before us.
Well, in part, Your Honor, under the alternative way of protection under the statute, one alternative way besides invoking is to apply for benefits under that system. The definition in the Oregon statute as to what constitutes a workers' compensation claim, it includes a written request for compensation from a subject worker. Therefore, by virtue of him being an Oregon subject worker and submitting a document which it at the top says, fill out this form to apply for workers' compensation benefits because of a work injury.
Was that an Oregon document? Generally, for workers' compensation claims, there is a process, a state process, with a form. There's a specific form that's filled out, and there's certain information that has to be put on that form. Is that true in Oregon?
It's broader than that, Your Honor. It's not limited to that kind of form. It says a written request for compensation. I don't think it has to be on a certain form. It can be any writing, by definition, according to the statute.
But I'm just asking you generally, is that the way the workers' compensation scheme works in Oregon?
I'm not a workers' compensation attorney. I think that's normally how they start doing that, but I don't think it's limited to that at all.
Okay.
Anyway, so he invoked the system by repeatedly telling his employer that he had been in on-the-job injury during a business trip.
Counsel, now you're losing me because a minute ago I thought you were saying that he invoked.
Yes.
By filling out the form. Now you're saying he invoked by telling his employer he was going to. So what exactly is your theory about the first moment he invoked, please?
The first moment he invoked when he orally told them that he was had an injury. Was involved in a business trip accident. That's the first time he invoked.
Well, who's them? He was with two coworkers, and they knew about the accident, but I think this is very important to be quite specific.
Okay.
Are you talking about the phone call to back to the Mr. In my notes, I called him Mr. F, because I didn't want to mispronounce his name. But is it that phone call, or are you talking about the coworkers who were with him in New York? Or
no, it's not his communication with the coworker. Rather, he made a phone call from the accident scene, and then during the
battle. Whom, sir? To whom?
He made it to his immediate superior.
That name, please?
Your Honor, I don't have that name at the top of
my head. Made the phone call, and then he was directed to Mr. F, right, to get information about workers' comp. And I'm just trying to figure out exactly what it is. Because when I look at the deposition testimony describing, and including your client's deposition testimony, it seems pretty unequivocal that he was asked the question, at that point, were you contemplating filing in New York? Was that conversation about filing in New York? And he said yes, not Oregon. So I really want to make sure I'm not missing.
Well, Your Honor, I think it doesn't really matter. The law doesn't require him to be an attorney to figure out, if I'm crossing this bridge between two states, do I file in Oregon? Do I file in Washington?
I'm just trying to figure out what he put his employer on notice of. So I think your case would be different, sir, if he had called his employer and indicated or gave this, even if he was ambiguous, but gave the employer some reason to think, you know, I've been on the job injury and I'm going to file workers' comp. But my understanding of the record is that he notified his employer at best that he was contemplating filing in New York, and that's what strikes me as unprotected.
I don't think he that came out of his mouth, Your Honor. He said he's been contacted by the insurance company, pressuring him to file a workers' compensation claim. Oregon law is as this court has said and shown, interprets invoking very broadly.
Right.
And
I agree with that, but when you say it didn't come out of his mouth, and I'm going to let you move on because I don't mean to belabor the point, but are you talking about you don't think he said that in the phone conversation or you don't think he said that in the deposition relating the phone conversation?
Your Honor, I don't recall him ever limiting his reference to filing a workers' compensation claim to filing a New York workers' compensation
claim.
Okay,
thank you.
I think it was just broadly.
All right, you've answered my question.
So let me ask you this question. So the gentleman who I think he spoke to is George Fortunato, the company's president. That's what I have in my notes. Is that correct? Does that jog your recollection?
He spoke to, I think, Mr. Klein, I think.
Walsh was his immediate
boss. Oh, sorry, yeah, Mr. Walsh was his immediate boss. Mr. Fortunato was the president.
He was the president. So he spoke to his immediate boss. He spoke to the president of the company. So he did tell people in a high position of authority that he was injured on the job. I guess the sticking point here that troubles me is that why did he file? I think you have an explanation, but he seemed to invoke the New York compensation laws and not the Oregon compensation laws, and I guess that's a sticking point. If he didn't really involve himself with this imbroglio and all that crazy story about why he did this and why he did that, mm-hmm. and one right to Oregon, we might have a different case. But, you know, you seem to have a situation where he went to New York and not to Oregon. So how do you rationalize that?
Well, Your Honor, this court has shown, so it's very broadly interpreted, the courts interpret invocation very broadly. He doesn't have to be an attorney and think,
You're asking us to disregard the fact that he went to the New York Workers' Compensation Board for relief.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear
you. You're asking us to disregard that completely.
Well, I'm not saying disregard it. I don't think it
has no relevancy whatsoever is your position.
It is not a dispositive issue. You're right, Your Honor. Ultimately, the Workers' Compensation Board of Oregon said he's an Oregon subject worker. It would be nonsensical.
Does his filing in New York have any relevancy at all to this litigation, or is it just the red herring?
Well, Your Honor, if you look at the Oregon statute of what constitutes a written claim for benefits under Oregon law, it could be any written request for compensation. On the form, the New York form says it's fill this form out for workers' compensation benefits.
But
so
he had an option. He could have gone to New York and he could have gone to Oregon. He had those choices to make. Or am I seeing this wrong?
Well, ultimately, it's a judicial decision which state's workers' compensation laws apply to him, and Oregon has been determined to be that state's laws.
But he chose to go to New York. Isn't that some sort of an election of his remedies?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. Otherwise, wouldn't the Oregon Workers' Compensation Board said, you've elected your remedies, New York, get out of here. They didn't do that.
They didn't do that. They accepted it.
Yes, exactly. I mean, they said he's a subject worker. It's still being litigated as to whether or not he ultimately will be found to have a compensable injury. But Oregon protects you whether you have a compensable injury or not. If you bring a claim, you're protected from termination, whether that's a valid claim or invalid.
So your position is the fact that he made these phone calls and he spoke to his supervisors and he said, I was injured while he was being trained in New York. He's an Oregon worker. That's sufficient to invoke the Oregon law.
Exactly.
That's
your
claim, as simple as that, right?
Yes, exactly. I reserve the rest of my time
before
for
you sit down, just so you can be looking at it. It's ER 43 that I was referring to, where the deposition testimony, in case you want to speak to it on rebuttal.
Counsel, before you leave, yes. I wanted to ask you what the specific language in Schoen is that you're relying upon to support your argument that he invoked the Oregon workers' compensation scheme by filing in New York.
Well, in Schoen, the court indicated that
the specific language.
Yes, Your Honor. I will pull that up right away.
If you'd rather do it on rebuttal, that would be fine.
Very good.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court. This is Louis Bottolato for Meditech, the defendant appellee. Can you hear me, Your Honors?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for allowing me to do this via video. I am really kind of crippled. My back is completely out. I could not have gotten on a plane this week, and I do appreciate your allowing me to do it this way. I would like to respond to, first of all, when you were pointing out his deposition testimony at his excerpt 43, there's also a place in Meditech's at pages 216 and 217 where he specifically said that he did not inform anybody at Meditech about his intention to file a claim in Oregon. So there's no question here that Meditech was never put on notice that he intended to file a claim in Oregon. He said to Meditech, I was not injured in the course of my employment. His own words at pages 188 of the record, and he testified in his deposition at pages 207 and 208 of the record that these were his words and his words alone, and nobody told him what to say. His own words were, we had just left the customer and were on our own way for some personal errands. It was my first time to New York City and wanted to see the Statue of Liberty. We were not working at the time.
Counsel?
After the accident,
counsel,
I'm sorry.
Forgive me, but we've read that, and it would be helpful
so
to me.
So you understand that he never.
It would be helpful to me if you could respond to. You know what the response is. The response is that he was under a lot of pressure because the auto insurer had contacted him, and you know what the response is. So could you speak to that, please?
Well, allegedly an auto insurer pressured him to file a workers' comp claim when, in fact, he really didn't have one under New York law, as was later determined by the New York Workers' Comp Board. He filed the New York workers' comp claim. It made no indication he was going to invoke Oregon law, made no indication that it was a work-related accident. And if you look in our brief, we cite to several cases from both Oregon and New York, which hold that a traveling employee is continuously within the course and scope of employment while away from home, except when engaged in a distinct departure on a personal errand. That's Oregon Proctor versus Safe Corp.
Right, and but those authorities really go to when you're on the job, when you suffer an on-the-job injury, and when you don't. So let me ask you.
Right,
this.
If we don't know there's a claim, there's an on-the-job injury, how are we ever apprised that there's any possibility he's going to invoke Oregon workers' compensation?
Here's my question.
Sure.
Okay. I don't think your contention is that if he had suffered an injury during the course of this business trip while doing his duties or not, that if he had contacted his employer to say, hey, I'm going to file a workers' comp claim, that they would be free to fire him. I don't think that's your
contention. Not my contention, Mike. My contention, Your Honor, is that if you tell us you're filing a New York State workers' comp claim, not because you had a work-related injury, but because a no-fault carrier is pressuring you to do it, how in the world are we ever presupposed to know that, in fact, you're going to later claim that you had a work-related injury and that you're going to later file an Oregon workers' comp claim 4 months after you were terminated and that somehow we are charged with a violation of Oregon statute by doing so, particularly when it would appear to me that the cases interpreting the Oregon statute say, quote, Oregon's workers' compensation statute, Oregon revised statute section 659A.040 subsection 1, only protects employees who apply for benefits under Oregon law. That's Jenkins versus Vestas American Wind Tech Incorporated.
I'm going to ask my question, okay? I'm going to ask it again so if I can, maybe we can communicate, because I'm not doubting any of the authorities you're citing. My question is, if this record showed that he informed his employer that he was going to file a workers' comp claim and had not mentioned filing under New York law, then what would your position be?
If he had said, I'm going to file a workers' comp
claim. Unbelievable.
Counsel?
And so what are we to do?
They should be reconnecting it. I'm going to call them.
Saved by the bell.
Right.
Hello, Your Honors, I'm back. Can you hear me? I'm sorry.
Can you remember the question?
Yes. Could you repeat the question? I'm sorry, Your Honor. I freaked out when I lost
contact. That was a very well-timed exit.
Maybe on your end. From my end, I'm I feel like I'm about to collapse.
Okay, so we're going to try it a third time here. My question, sir, it's a hypothetical. Pretend, if you would, that the record is just a phone call to his employer saying, I'm going to file a workers' comp claim. And it's going to be sorted out later whether it's really an on-the-job injury, whether it's really a valid workers' comp claim. Just a notice, I've been hurt, I'm going to file a workers' comp claim without mentioning New York. And in that event, what would your position be?
Under those facts, it's possible. It's possible. It's a stretch, but it's possible that you might say Meditech might be charged with knowledge. He could potentially have filed an Oregon workers' comp claim and maybe invoked the system that way. But that's not the facts of this case, Your Honor. In this case, we have a situation where he specifically chose New York workers' compensation. And under New York workers' compensation,
Let me get into the debate if I can. This is Judge Block. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Your Honor.
So I just want to know factually, did he or did he not report that he had an injury on the job to Mr. Fortunato or to anybody else? Yes or no? Did he report that?
He did not. Absolutely not.
Well,
he repeatedly said...
The record is unclear. You're telling me he never said that he had an injury on the job to those people?
He specifically said many, many times during the... Remember, we're talking about the time period when he was employed. During that time period, every single document he filed, every single
I'm not talking about documents. Was there a phone call or not that he made on the job?
There was a phone call.
Listen to me.
Let him finish the question, please.
That where he said that I've been injured on the job. Forget about workers' compensation claims. Did he ever make such a phone call to Mr. Fortunato or to his supervisor, yes or no? I just want to get the facts clear. He never did?
No. He stated I was injured while on a personal errand. That's the testimony of Mr. Walsh. That's the testimony of Mr. Fortunato. And he never contradicts that testimony. Nowhere in his own testimony he said, no, I told them that I was working when the incident occurred. He said he was off to see the Statue of Liberty. He later on in his deposition testimony turns around and says, but after that we were going to go back and do some more work. But there's no indication that he ever told anyone at Fortunato that at the time.
So that really goes to Fortunato having reason to think that he did not have a valid workers' comp claim, sir.
Correct.
Well, it also goes to whether or not he was terminated for filing a workers' compensation claim, because if the company was never notified that he was filing a workers' compensation claim, then the motivation could not be filing a workers' compensation claim that precipitated the termination. That's why this question is important to me.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And if you have a person telling you, no, I didn't have a work-related accident, how can you
Wait. Here's how you could possibly. I mean, I appreciate that this is a hypothetical, but to be clear, it surely is not your position that, and I think you've clarified this, that he could have possibly have called Mr. Fortunato and said, I've had this job on this work-related trip, albeit, you know, when I was touring the Statue of Limitations, or Statue of Liberty. but again, that goes to whether or not it was a valid claim, sir. Surely it's not your position that he could have had that conversation with Mr. Fortunato, said that he had this injury, was contemplating filing a workers' comp claim, and that it would not have been a retaliation to be terminated for that reason. I mean, you're really relying on the notice being New York. You're really relying on the notice having been that he was planning to file in New York, right?
Absolutely. And also, I'm relying on the fact that New York has a section, workers' compensation law section 120, that has been ruled many times by federal courts of appeals and federal district courts as the exclusive remedy for somebody who files a New York State workers' comp claim and then alleges he was fired in retaliation. He elected his remedy. He filed a New York State workers' comp claim. He began to pursue that claim. It was only 4 months after he was terminated that for the first time he filed an Oregon document that for the first time said, no, I was working at the time. This was a work-related accident. And that's why I would argue you cannot say Meditech knew he was ever going to do that. There's no indication
they didn't
that he was
need
ever
going to
do anything in Oregon.
They didn't need to know. They would not have been free to fire him if he said he was going to file an invalid workers' comp claim. That's not your, that can't be your position.
That's not my position at all.
Thank you.
But my position is for you to claim and to invoke Oregon statute, you have to have some indication that you're going to make an Oregon claim, not a New York claim.
The statute doesn't
That's
say
what
that.
The
statute
says.
Doesn't say that. It just says that you have to report that you had an injury on the job. And I think he did that to Mr. Fortunato. And then there's this whole colloquy about whether or not it would hurt him to file a workers' compensation claim. But you say factually he never told Mr. Fortunato or anybody else that he'd been injured on the job. That's your position, right?
That is my position.
And I think your further position is that in the plaintiff's deposition testimony, actually in all the deposition testimony, that I can find, the report in that conversation was that he was contemplating filing in New York.
That is correct, Your Honor.
All right. I appreciate that clarification. Thank you.
You have 4 minutes left. Was there anything else, counsel?
The only thing that I would like to point out and reiterate is that we're not talking about a situation where Mr. Kwiatkowski was telling people he had a work-related accident anywhere at this time period. There are several documents filed, some of which are filed under penalty of perjury by Mr. Kwiatkowski, starting as recently as 3 days after the accident and going all the way to months after he was fired, all of which indicate this was not a work-related accident. And it would seem to me if you're going to claim that you notified your employer of a work-related accident, there has to be some indication somewhere that you told him it was a work-related accident. That, it seems to me, reading the Oregon law,
I don't think the law, you're getting ahead of yourself. There's nothing in the statute that says you have to invoke an Oregon. It says you have to report an injury on the job while you're employed, and he was employed by an Oregon company. He was there in New York just being trained. And you say that
it's
he never told anybody.
It's not an Oregon company.
There's nothing in the statute that says he has to say, I'm invoking Oregon law. He has to report an injury. That's how you invoke the statute. But you're telling me that he never did that because he never had a conversation with anybody where he said he was injured on the job. I have to check the record to find out whether that's true or not. It's a summary judgment motion. There are factual issues that may have to be explored.
Well, counsel, it might be helpful to actually read the provision, the statutory provision. It says it is an unlawful employment practice for an employer to discriminate against a worker with respect to hire or tenure or any term or condition of employment because the worker has applied for benefits or invoked or utilized the procedures provided for in ORS Chapter 656. No mention of another state.
That's my argument, Your Honor. There is no mention of another state in the statute, and the case law seems to indicate it has to be evoking the Oregon statute. And in other areas of the law, they've limited the language to Oregon statutes. For example, for purposes of Chapter 656, courts have interpreted workers' compensation benefits as only including application for Oregon workers' compensation benefits, not federal disability awards or awards made under other states' compensation systems. That's American Building Maintenance versus McLeese, 296 Oregon 772. There's several cases to that nature, and it would appear to me that if you want to invoke a punitive statute under Oregon law saying that your employer did something discriminatory to you, if the statute says under this provision or under Oregon Section 656, it would seem to me you'd have to show some indication that you told your employer that you had both a work-related injury and that you intended to invoke Oregon law. If you tell your employer that you were not injured in the course of your employment and you're going to file a New York workers' complaint only because a no-fault adjuster told you to do so, I don't believe you've informed your your employer of any of that.
You're saying basically this is an admission against his interest, and that you can take that as an admission on the record and hold that against them to preclude the issuance of summary judgment.
Well, it's not just an admission against interest, Your Honor. It's uncontroverted evidence. It's his words. And there's no words anywhere that I could see
that,
that he ever told his...
How is it an issue of fact
if the only language is his language saying... Stop it.
You're telling me he never reported an injury on the job. I have to check that out. I don't think you're correct about that. But in any event, I think that's your position. He never said a word to anybody that he had an injury on the job. I think you told me that, right? I don't think that's correct.
I don't know of any place on the record that contradicts my position,
Your
Honor.
I'll ask your adversary, where on the record did he tell anybody that he had an injury on the job? I think he did. All right,
counsel, you've exceeded your time. Rebuttal. So, counsel, I had asked you to tell me the specific language in the Schoen case that you were relying upon to support
your
argument.
It's the last full paragraph of that opinion. It states, Oregon's workers' compensation statute and rules define what is required to invoke a workers' compensation claim very broadly. And Schoen's first litigation with Freightliner clearly comes within these definitions. And it goes
but,
on
but
to...
But that doesn't... Does that say... Was that out-of-state? Filing with an out-of-state system?
No, but in that case, the first claim Schoen brought was a lawsuit in State Court of Oregon for a tort claim and a workers' compensation discrimination claim. She did not, the first invocation, the first claim she brought was a lawsuit. It wasn't actually a statutory workers' compensation claim in any jurisdiction.
But it was seeking relief under Oregon law. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
The same, here's where my dilemma is with your position. The same judge who wrote Schoen also presided over this case and said that the plaintiff did not invoke benefits from Oregon, from the Oregon's workers' compensation system. How do you square those two? If you say that Schoen is broad, but this same judge said that the actions of the plaintiff were not sufficient to invoke the Oregon statute, how do you square those two rulings?
Well, this judge was reversed in the Schoen case. So this court reversed her opinion.
Mm-hmm.
In Schoen, it was a lawsuit, not a workers' compensation claim. That was the first lawsuit she brought, and the court in Schoen said that is enough to invoke the workers' compensation. It wasn't even a workers' compensation claim in any jurisdiction that she first brought, yet Schoen said that first lawsuit is enough to invoke
protections under Oregon law.
For discrimination and a tort claim.
Right.
Yes. Right. Well, Your Honor, the law is so broad, invoking is a herb.
So my question has to be answered also. Your adversary said that he never said a word to anybody, any employer, any supervisor, that he was injured on the job. This comes to us in the posture of a summary judgment grant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he said a lot of other things, you know, which commingled this case and created a lot of problems for us.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me in the record where exactly he reported that he had an on-the-job injury. I'd just like to know factually.
Your Honor, in the New York form he filled out, it says at the top, fill out this form to make a claim for workers' compensation benefits.
You're relying on the form he filled out, no conversation that he had with Mr. Fortunato or anybody else. I'm confused about this factually. I'd appreciate it if you can clarify that for me.
Your Honor, I'm not sure the words on the job injury were the exact words he used in the record. He talked about his...
Tell me what you rely upon to invoke Oregon law about reporting an injury that he had on the job. What do you rely on?
Okay. He was in New York...
In the record.
Yes. Yes. Well, he...
In the record.
Well, all right, Your Honor, if you look at... let me take a moment here. Well, in the record, first of all, Mr. Fortunato sent a letter where he admitted, according to Mr. Fortunato, that Mr. Kwasinski said he wanted to file a workers' compensation claim.
You rely on that.
I'm sorry?
You rely on that. What else?
Partly, yes, because it's an admission by Mr. Coronado that he was told that Mr. Clifton was going to file a claim.
But that doesn't say he was injured on the job, though.
Under the Oregon law, the Herbert case cited in the record, whether the plaintiff has a valid or even an invalid claim ultimately.
But the question is, where in the record did Mr. Kwasinski say he was injured on the job? That's a simple question. Did he or did he not say that he was injured on the job?
Your Honor, again, I don't know his exact words came out of him, but he telephoned, he telephoned the employer from the work site, from the accident site, saying, we've been involved in an accident. He spoke to the employer.
But he said he was on a personal errand.
Not in the conversation. In the conversation from the accident site, he didn't say where. He just said we were in the tunnel.
The way to the Statue of Liberty. Didn't he say that?
Not in that conversation. They just were talking about where they were in the injury. And then they had a conversation. The balance of his business trip, he repeatedly spoke to Mr. Fortunato and Mr. Walsh about the injury, the accident, getting calls about filing workers' compensation claims.
Counsel, before you leave, I read the language of the statute, and it seems to include as an element that the worker has applied for benefits or invoked, no matter how broadly you define that, or utilized the procedures provided for in ORS Chapter 656. Mm-hmm. It appears to me that your argument is reading out the last phrase as provided for in Oregon law by saying that filing a New York claim would invoke this statute. I don't see how you get there.
Well, Your Honor, it's very broadly interpreted. In the Herbert case, if you look at that case in our brief, the injured truck driver in that case didn't say anything about filing workers' compensation claim, just talked about exposure to some harmful chemical in the truck she was driving.
Herbert stands for the proposition that it doesn't need to be written notice, which is why Judge Rawlinson is saying if you interpret invoke very broadly, mm-hmm. you've still got the problem that here the record we have is that the specific invocation, albeit oral, mm-hmm. was of New York law. That's the problem.
Well, Your Honor, if I think Judge Block is right that if he mentions workers' compensation, he doesn't have to be an attorney to know I'm going to be filing a New York or Oregon claim. He just has to say I have a workers' compensation claim and his evidence.
I never said that the filing of the claim was sufficient. I want to know where he told his employee that he was injured on the job. Let me ask you a totally irrelevant question, okay?
Very good.
How injured was this person?
I'm sorry?
How injured was he?
How injured was he? He had a back injury and...
Back injury.
Pardon me?
Back injury.
Back injury, and he was...
That's ironic.
Yeah, he had treatment for a number of months. Eventually, he recovered.
He's okay.
Yeah, his workers' compensation claim is still proceeding, Your Honor.
Yeah, see, district court judges ask irrelevant questions.
Very good. I see my
All
time
right.
is up.
You've exceeded your time. Thank you. Thank you to both counsel. Thank you, counsel, for appearing by video. The case just argued is submitted for decision by the court. The next case on calendar for argument is Smith versus, is it Everest? Should it be Everest? Smith versus ICTSI, whichever attorney is for that case.